This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 o'clock hour kicking off. Final hour of today's show. Grant and Danny on the Fan at 1:30. As Craig just told you, if you missed D-Hole with us talking Kendall Fuller, what he'll be on the outside as a corner in Kansas City. Kirk Cousins, what he could be for a starting quarterback for a contender this coming year. And Alex Smith and what it means for him to come to Washington. We'll replay that for you coming up in about 25 minutes at 1:30. Speaking of Smith, the guy who's covered him and who covers the Chiefs, writes columns and does a good job as a managing editor for SB Nation, also running Arrowhead Pride. Our guest joining us on the hotline right now is Joel Thorman. And Joel, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. I guess let's start with your reaction to the deal. We all knew that Alex Smith was likely out to make room for Pat Mahomes. Were you surprised it was Washington and what they were able to get back?
Yeah, totally surprised it was Washington. They weren't one of the teams we talked about at all, really, leading up to this. And I'm, like everybody else, I'm surprised by the timing. You know, I knew there was going to be a bit of a quarterback market out there with Cousins being available and Alex being available. There's just not that many good quarterbacks that hit the market very often. So I expected there to be plenty of quarterback movement, and I guess the Chiefs just wanted to get ahead of it all and make sure they got something out of it.
How hot and heavy was the market, to your understanding? It sounds like some teams were involved. Denver apparently dangled Aqib Talib. There were second-round picks involved from other people. Arizona had interest, apparently. What did you hear? What do you think of it?
We were always told that there was going to be some interest. I found it kind of curious that we found out who was interested after this deal went down. I would have been surprised if they sent Alex Smith to the Broncos. I know Andy Reid traded within the division, 8 years ago with Donovan McNabb, sending him to Washington. But, you know, I think Andy felt maybe Donovan was on his way down, as a player. And I think Alex still has several good years left in him. So I didn't expect him to go to Denver. It feels like they're kind of one piece away from really contending. But any of those other teams, you know, there were so many different, teams, I think, that could have possibly looked at him. Like, I know Cleveland was always thrown out there, but to me, a 1-31 team over the last couple of years, I thought the Chiefs really, really liked and respected Alex, and I thought they were going to do everything they could to put him in the best possible situation. And given some of the other teams floated out there, Washington's not a bad landing spot at all for him.
Joel Thorman, our guest, joining us on Grant and Danny on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline via Arrowhead Pride. So this isn't the best way to do an interview, but I'm going to make a comment, and I just want you to react to it rather than a question. Alex Smith, before this last season, isn't a guy I'm all that interested in. I never really loved his game. Now, granted, he's one of the best options on the open market, obviously, as a plan B with Cousins leaving. But I think he was different this year, and he was a lot better this year. Your reaction to that and whether or not what we saw this year was sustainable, did he make the jump that at least statistically it looks like he made?
Yeah, I think anytime you're talking about Alex's time in Kansas City, you always got to consider the Andy Reid factor. I think he does a pretty good job with quarterbacks. But this year did seem different. Not so much that they were going, they were stretching the field so much more. It just felt like Alex was hitting those more often. And I think one thing that's overlooked with that is that Tyreek Hill really became a full-time receiver this year, and he is one of the best deep threats in the NFL. Not that Alex didn't have, solid receivers at times in the past, but, Tyreek was really kind of like tailor-made for downfield passing. So he did take a step forward. I think Alex's value is that he's kind of like a franchise stabilizer. Probably not going to go win the Super Bowl with them in Washington, But I bet you're going to win 9 or 10 games a year over the next few years and be in the playoffs every season. So, I think that's a lot of his value. And I think you would have gotten that after 2016 or after this season.
Curious for the perception of someone who's not in D.C. We've been asking a lot of our Redskins-based guests, comparing him to Kirk Cousins. As someone who hasn't covered Cousins and just sees him from afar, what is the perception of a guy like you on just the Redskins going from Cousins to Smith and what that means for their quarterback spot?
They're kind of similar to me in that they're both very good quarterbacks, but not elite. And like you said, everybody needs a quarterback, and even an average quarterback is going to get a ton of attention these days since they're never out there. That's kind of what I would say.
Joel Thorman is with us from Arrowhead Pride, covers the Chiefs in depth, talking Alex Smith and the deal to send him to Washington. What did Kansas City, I would say, well, let me try to phrase it this way, Joel. What were they missing in your mind? We saw them firsthand early when they were kicking everybody's butt. They went through that swoon and then kind of got back to themselves end of the season. I know it ended in a way that you guys weren't terribly pleased with, but what did Kansas City not have that they kind of needed, in your opinion, to kind of get over this hump?
Eric Berry, I think, was a huge loss. I really question whether or not the Chiefs lose 6 of 7 in the middle of the season if Eric Berry's there, not just his impact on the field, but that guy is just – his leadership's on another level. I've never seen anything like it. Like, the season, it felt like it was turning around at the end of the season when Berry came back around the team more often because he was rehabbing outside earlier. So I think that's just a huge, underlooked part of this. They lost probably their best defensive player in week one. They started out 5-0, but eventually I think that caught up to them. That, to me, I think is like the most overlooked part of this with the Chiefs last season.
Our guest covers the Chiefs and has done a great job writing about the Alex Smith trade over the last few days out in Kansas City. How dependent on the running game and a good defense has he been? He's coming to Washington where both of those things are going to be worse.
We don't have those, Joel.
Can he elevate the play of guys and players around him?
Yeah, you know what? I think of, like, when I think of Alex's time, like, I think of what he did for players like Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, and Jamal Charles. And I look at the kid in Washington, Thompson. I bet he's going to be able to benefit from him. Because Alex, everybody kind of talks about how he needs the running game and the defense, and that's definitely true. It was hard to analyze and even talk about in Kansas City because Andy Reid would use the short passing game as a running game replacement all the time. So it was effectively the same thing, even though he was, checking down or throwing to the flat or screens or whatever. So I do think he is dependent on that a little bit, and a decent offensive line. But if you set those things up, he's going to be pretty consistent week to week. He'll have, I think, a high floor. I don't know how high his ceiling will be, but if you give him that other stuff, I think you're a perennial playoff team.
Joel, why do you think it's been twice now where an organization has kind of gone for the younger, sleeker, sexier model over Alex Smith? I liken it yesterday to saying he's a hump guy, meaning he'll get you to the hump, but maybe not over.
Right.
The Redskins are looking up at the hump. They're desperate to reach the hump. The 11 wins that you guys had consecutive years in 15 and 16, we haven't had since I was a kid. So we need someone to stabilize and maybe get us to a certain spot, and then maybe you find something else sexier. But in your mind, why have a couple of organizations now moved on from a guy that we all kind of think nothing's really wrong with?
Because he's been very good, but not elite. And you look around, most years you need that elite quarterback. I think at least over here in the AFC, something like 13 of the last 15, AFC title games have included Ben, Brady, or who am I forgetting? Manning. So if you don't have one of those guys, you're always searching for it. And I think Alex is at his best. He's kind of like on the cusp there. We saw that this season when things were going really well. You got to look at each situation individually. In San Francisco, Cap was playing awesome. So it made more sense for them to move on. And here, when Andy Reid moves up 17 spots to draft a quarterback, that guy's probably got a good shot to be pretty good. So, they got to play him sooner rather than later. I get the circumstances on each trade. But you're right. It is kind of odd to see, you know, since you never see quarterbacks moved, to see this happen twice to Alex.
Do Chiefs fans feel like they robbed the Redskins? Because they had to get rid of Smith. They created $17 million in cap space. They got a really good young corner and a third-round pick. They have to be doing cartwheels.
Yeah, I think Chiefs fans were pretty happy because we had, here in Kansas City, had no idea, you know, what they were going to get for Alex. I mean, there was talk that it would be a third or a fourth-round pick, and that's it, or there were other people trying to float a first-round pick. So we really had no idea. This seemed like a pretty good haul, and especially that the cornerback coming, you know, opposite Marcus Peters in Kansas City last season, they went through like four starters, so that was a huge problem. And it appears along with the trade, you know, they've also solved that problem. So Chiefs fans are really happy, but I would go back to week 17, and it's just some assurance that you saw Patrick Mahomes play for 1 week and thought, whoa, he doesn't look like Paxton Lynch. He looks like he's got a chance to be a pretty good quarterback. And so I think that eased a lot of concerns in Kansas City about dropping Alex. With that week 17 game, he looked pretty good.
Joe, really appreciate the time, man. It's great insight, and enjoy the Pat Mahomes era. And Kendall Fuller, you're really going to get a kick out of the kid. He can play. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
Joe Thorman, our guest from Arrowhead Pride on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What grade do you give the Alex Smith trade? We didn't give grades yesterday. Let's do that next. You can call us at 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's mow through some calls in a minute on how you grade this trade out for the Redskins. Yesterday, we just kind of spent 4 hours reacting in real time as news continued to come out. Today, we've drilled down with topics and good conversations. And kudos to you guys. It's been really good participation and some really smart, good phone calls as well. 800-636-1067. You want to claim one of the couple lines that is available to you. If you missed D'Angelo Hall earlier today, he was outstanding. We'll air that for you in about 11 minutes at 1:30. If you missed Sean McVay earlier today, you're going to have to podcast that at grantanddanny.com/audio. That was a fun conversation on the Rams winning 11 games, turning Jared Goff around, what Kirk Cousins could be moving forward, what kind of offense will be a fit, breaking down Alex Smith and Jay Gruden and how they'll mesh together with one of the smartest football minds in the country, who, oh, by the way, will probably win the Coach of the Year award this weekend at the NFL Honors and Awards show ahead of the Super Bowl. I like that they do that in primetime and they do an Oscars and Emmys kind of deal. You hate award shows, so you probably don't like it,
right?
But I'm a big fan of them, and I
do your
love
job.
That night.
Do your job and go home. That's what everybody should be doing. You can give MVP awards and stuff like that.
Let's have a nice dinner and celebrate each other.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the speeches and act like you're saving the planet. That's what I get bothered by. That's all. That's all that it's the ham-handed, like, this work is artful and it's beautiful. Acted the movie. Let's all settle down.
Would you be more sized if Nick Sundberg was up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year? Because that's the main event of the night is they honor a guy. This year it'll probably be J.J. Watt. But they honor
raised,
the guy
like,
who
what, $1 trillion for Houston?
They did the best charity work. Like, that's a guy I think that should be honored.
Should be honored. You can give an honor without an awards dinner. You can just be honored by somebody.
Why not call attention to him? And players now...
Sure, call attention
to it. Years
in
the future, we'll want to be that guy on that stage.
I want good work rewarded. We should reward it. We don't need an awards dinner where, like, somebody does a bad monologue without trying to offend anybody, and you drag it out over 2 hours, and people play music to get you off stage.
All right, be quick here. I'll give you mine very fast as well. Grade for the Alex Smith trade A to F is?
C. It's a C for me. It stings. It should sting. It stings when you have to get out from under. It stings when you have to correct mistakes of over the course of 3 years. There is a cost to pay. This is not, quote, great value. You gave up a starter for Alex Smith and a third-round pick. Not the other way around, by the way. A starter and a third-round pick. Not a third-round pick and Kendall Fuller. That's not an and. That's Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick. It's going to sting. You overpaid, but that's what it costs for a position that is the most important in sports. It's a C for me.
B that I dropped down to a C because of the contract, because of the Fuller addition, and I dropped down to a C- because of the contract. So in the end, it's a C- for me. D, Danny, Dallas, what do you grade the trade?
Graded a D. Alex Smith is not that good. He's had 3 years where he's thrown more than 18 touchdown passes. It's ridiculous. It might make us better in the short term, but we're going to miss that third round pick. We're going to miss Kendall Fuller for years to come. And I just wanted to say also, I am taking a break from this team. Scott McLuhan, I am still reeling at that. And that had almost pushed me out of the edge, off the edge. The only thing that was keeping me up with this team was Kirk Cousins. Whatever team Kirk Cousins goes to, I'm following next year.
Really? I got to say, I mean, because I said it when people threatened to do that with Griffin, I think that's a bad decision, and I don't think you should do that.
But I understand your frustration.
Be a Redskins fan, not a player fan. But if you're mad at the way the Redskins handle themselves, you should be, and you should have been for a long, long time, because you're 100% right. They botch things, and that hasn't changed and probably won't change with Bruce and Dan Snyder running the show. I agree with this point on Alex Smith, by the way. The conversation about him does not match the numbers of his career. The performance does not match how glowing everybody is when we talk about this guy. Tony and Tyson's, what's up?
Tony.
Hey, I'll give the grade a C, make it a B minus if Alex Smith's skill set, which I think is better than Kirk Cousins in the red zone, if his red zone touchdown percentage for the Redskins improves, since that was one of the weak points with Kirk Cousins. I mean, the ultimate measure stick, if you look at Carson Wentz, I believe he had the highest red zone touchdown percent. And that's sort of a bottom line. You can be fast, you can scramble, you can think quickly, but the red zone touchdown percent, I think, is a bottom line. I'd like to know the difference between Cousins and Smith's stats for 2017.
I'll try to pull it. I know, Kirk, it was glaring where some of his numbers really went down, a huge drop-off. Everybody's percentages go down in the red zone.
Right.
Less room to operate, et cetera. Kirk was in the 30s at one point. I don't have Alex Smith in front of me. I'll see if I can find
that. Yeah, see if you can dig him up. The Chiefs have a lot of those 13- and 17-point games. So my guess off the top of my head anecdotally would be they weren't awesome in the red zone as a passing team. But because they can run the ball, they probably had decent numbers overall as a club. Let's go to Geno Silver Spring. Your grade for the trade.
What's up, fellas? I give it an F. Even if I'm looking at it the way you were looking at it last segment, Grant, which is just comparing, are they better with Colt McCoy versus who he's the starter. Are they better with Colt McCoy or are they better with Alex Smith? I don't know that they pass even to a D because I'm not sure that they're better than they would be with just Colt McCoy and the other $17 million that they could invest in players like Zach Brown and Bashaud Breeland and whoever else. So it's. Are they even better than Colt McCoy and still having all that money to spend?
I think they are. Look, it's a fair enough question. I think you're forgetting that Colt McCoy's not good. I mean, I think that you're forgetting that he gets sacked 7 times and fumbles twice and might or might not get hurt, but there's a good chance that it's going to happen in most of the games that he plays in. And that the last time he started and finished a game here, he got shut out. And that Alex Smith, for all of his flaws and faults and the limited passing abilities, is a quarterback you can be in that 9-10 win mix with. One is probably the 15th to 17th best passer in the NFL. The other is probably like in that 32 to 35 range. That's a pretty substantial difference. Now, when you speak about being able to spend $17 million, that's a big deal. But you're not going to be prevented from spending money and getting better on defense by spending the $17 million this year and the $23 or $24 million next year on him. The cap's huge, as we were talking about with Cousins. The Steelers spend crazy money. They have 5 players basically taking up over 60% of their cap and still have one of the best defenses in the league.
Got those red zone stats while you were talking. Alex Smith, inside the 20, 43% completion percentage, down from what we're used to seeing from him. He was up in the upper 60s, from 20 to 20, basically the rest of the field. 13 touchdowns, no picks. Kirk Cousins, inside the 20, red zone, 50% completion percentage, which is down. 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. Inside the 10, though, where there's even less space to maneuver and improvisation is at a premium.
Yeah.
48% for Alex Smith, 10 touchdowns, no picks. Kirk Cousins, 34%, 7 touchdowns and 1 lone interception. In there.
Yeah. Smith's not going to be great in the red zone because he doesn't force anything that isn't open with an hour to kind of set everything up and have his tee and see a guy and believe in a guy, which is the knock on Cousins, which is comical because Smith's a more extreme version of that.
So guys that were great inside the 10 really can find space. Names that you would jump out and kind of expect. Drew Brees, really, really good. Aaron Rodgers, really, really good in there. That makes sense, right?
They're going to be at the top of every list, probably.
Yeah.
Kenny and Alexandria, what's up?
Yeah, I love the show, Grant, Danny.
Thank you. What do you grade the trade, buddy?
A C+. I kind of agree with Charlie. With Tassily was on the radio, on TV this morning right after the Junkies, and he kind of reminded everybody we need to look at, we weren't going to sign Cousins, which is really a shame. That's the crime of the whole thing. But we could have been a lot worse off if we hadn't let this guy get away. Defense goes backwards, but it should be an even wash. We'd rather have Cousins, but we weren't going to sign him. So I think everybody's got to realize that.
Yeah, and I think I 100% agree. I had someone yesterday tweet me saying, I can't believe how upbeat you were on this trade on the show today. And I just reiterated via tweet what I said for 4 hours, which is I don't love the trade. I just know that Cousins wasn't coming back, and the alternative is Colt McCoy in a guessing game with Josh Allen.
I had the same comment with a buddy who texted and said, I can't believe you're not just destroying this. And I said, the destruction we did over 3 years.
Yeah, I've been destroying this since 2015. Yesterday was trying to salvage what they've already ruined. It was basically a house that had crumbled, and they're going through and picking up pieces that they might be able to use. And unfortunately, the tax is you don't get to use Kendall Fuller. You don't get to use the third-round pick as part of the building. If you missed D'Angelo Hall on Fuller, on Cousins and his chances of winning a Super Bowl, and saying that he thinks the money being paid to Alex Smith is higher than he would have expected.
It was great.
Make sure you listen next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny stretch run, final few minutes. New story on thefandc.com from Rick Snyder. Redskins make sideways move with Alex Smith. You can check that out while you're on our website. Go to grantanddanny.com/audio. And on grantanddanny.com/audio, listen to our interview with Sean McVay. Listen to our interview with D'Angelo Hall, which we just re-aired for you. Tim's in D-Speed. He's been waiting patiently to grade the Alex Smith trade. What do you got, Tim?
Come on.
Guys, we got to really think positive about this one. I think he's a solid B. I think, considering what we would have ended up with, we're very fortunate. And, you know, he's the third winningest quarterback since 2011. He has thrown over 140 touchdowns and a little shade over 30 interceptions, where Kurt has thrown 199 touchdowns and over 50 interceptions in 6 years and a quarter of the game. So I'm not saying that says anything. I'm saying protect the ball.
Here's my
question
to you, Tim.
We need somebody to protect the ball and get us those extra 2 and 3 wins that we're not getting over the hump with Kurt.
I got a question.
We need to think positive,
I got
guys.
A question for you, and I appreciate your positivity. But, well, he hung up. I said 3 times I want to ask you a question.
He didn't want to hear that question.
Jeez.
He said what he wanted to say.
All right. Thanks, Tim, for the phone call.
That reminds me of that Duke's promo. People don't want to have a back and forth with me. They want to spit out whatever they have, and they want me to lop their heads off. That's right. What it felt like right there.
I didn't want to lop his head off. I was going to ask him was, because he was doing the Alex Smith wins thing, Alex Smith is the third winningest quarterback over the last X amount of years. Might that just mean he's been on good teams?
The first 6 years of his career as a starter, he was 19-31. Cousins was 19-21-1.
I'm not going to reference that because I don't care about wins and losses when he's bad or when he's good.
Sure.
Here's what I'm going to do. When he was no longer the quarterback of the 49ers, they got really hot in the second half of the year and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And if not for the lights going out, they probably would have won the Super Bowl. They were really good under Jim Harbaugh, with Alex Smith and without Alex Smith. The Kansas City Chiefs, clearly he's been their quarterback the last few years, I don't think are going to fall off with Pat Mahomes next year. Is anybody right now saying, oh, Alex Smith's out, so now the Chiefs are going to go 6-10? No. He's been on a really good team in the NFC, a really good team in the AFC. So, yes, he's been one of the most winning quarterbacks because he's been on a 10-11 win program for 2 straight stops.
Which you basically had for both quarterbacks over the course of the years. Now, bigger sample for Alex Smith. Again, most recent year, his best year. So, grain of salt here. But over a career, a 2-1 touchdown-interception ratio. The difference is Cousins does more of each. Alex Smith does fewer of each. But you still get that 2-1 ratio. 183 in terms of touchdowns over his career. 96 picks. Again, roughly 2-1. Same thing with Kirk Cousins. 99 touchdowns. 55 interceptions. Again, more frequent interceptions early on in his career. We know what happened there. Interception percentage went down every year until this past year, by the way, where it went back up a little bit. So what you have is somebody who is going to do more on both ends, cost you and help you. Whereas Alex Smith is, again, just he's Jim Zorn, man. He's staying medium. He's going to do less, and he's also going to do less in both columns.
And to double down on your point, as I said yesterday, not throwing interceptions is always taken as a positive. It shouldn't be. When you don't throw many interceptions and you make a lot of big plays and you throw for a ton of yards and you amass touchdowns and points, that's a really cool, big, good deal.
All turnovers are not created equal.
However, when you do not throw a lot of interceptions and you also don't score a lot of touchdowns or points or put up a lot of yards, it's not a good thing. It can be indicative of actually bad tendencies and inability to make some throws that are necessary. Danny in Fairfax, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
What's up, good.
Hey, so here's my thing. Over the past 3 years with Kirk, our best wins have always come from him just being the perfect game manager, and we just got the vanilla answer to game management, the guy who will come in, manage a game from beginning to end. I think wins are going to go up. The Kendall Fuller loss is huge. The third-round pick is huge. But just going Kirk to Smith, I'm actually not hating the transition.
Yeah, I don't think you should hate it. And that's kind of my point, is I would hate going to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'd hate going to Josh McCown or losing out on a bidding war for Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Bradford or whoever else and being stuck with a rookie who could never amount to anything here or, you know, the leftovers of the free agent market.
Would you hate going to Colt McCoy?
I would hate that. I would absolutely hate that. So you shouldn't hate going to Smith, even though it sounds like we're bashing Smith and people are just tuning in like, why do these guys hate Smith? We don't. We're simply trying to get you the full panoramic here. You and I both said we have a choice. Anybody else out there? If it isn't Cousins, who is it? We both said Smith.
Yeah, that's what's funny.
We're both Team Smith.
People keep saying, I don't know why you guys don't like Alex Smith.
We both like him.
The day before they traded for him on this show, the topic was, if Cousins isn't the starter, who do you want to be the starter? And our answers were both Alex Smith.
We didn't talk about it before, and we didn't have some kind of thing like, you know, it'd be so much fun if we both said Smith. We didn't do that. We independently came up with Smith. I like Smith.
Chad Dukes versus the world comes your way next. If you missed McVay or Hall, if you missed Joel Thorman, covers the Chiefs, get the podcast tonight. We got great podcast news and numbers today, which is awesome.
Very cool.
Go to grantanddanny.com.
For Grant Benetham, I'm Danny. CDBGW is up next. A cleanly shaven Chadwick Bundy. Up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.